Hey everybody, welcome to the Beat is for Brutal MMA podcast, episode 23.
23 and me.
Unfortunately, we could not get the great Michael Jordan on the show. You know, yeah. I thought that would be
Michael
good.
Michael Jordan pulled out last minute on us.
Yeah, what a douchebag.
That fuckhead.
Yeah.
Oh, you know what, Michael? I'm this is the last straw with this, all right? If I see you, it's on site.
On site, immediately.
Bud, you got that. Anyways, go ahead and fire up some.
All right, guys. There's been a lot going on. 270. In MMA.
My man.
Did you guys watch UFC 270?
Figueredo winning it back.
Yeah, it's wild. I mean, I guess they're going to fight.
He was acting like a douche beforehand, but I still liked watching his fights more. Yeah. I wanted him to win.
The better haircut.
I'm like, Figueredo just fucks people up when he wins, usually. And then people are like trying to say, they're like, we're jumping right into it today. They're like, Moreno won. I had my buddy arguing with me with that, and I was like, I think he dropped him, like, at least, I think he dropped him three times, and then twice with leg kicks. So if you count the leg kicks, like, he dropped him like five times. He dropped Moreno. I'm like, what? Shit. What, did you even watch what I was watching? What the hell are you talking about? You know what I mean? That's a decisive win. If you drop someone five times, he don't drop you.
Yeah.
Did he drop him?
Can you give me like a breakdown of what happened? I wasn't watching the fight. So
you didn't watch it?
Round
three was so good. The third round.
Just give me like a quick.
It was
like,
a pretty close.
Explain the fight and like
back and
seconds.
Forth fight. Yeah. Moreno, if he would have pushed the gas a little bit more, probably could have won, but. I'll give you the whole breakdown right now. So Figueredo got new coaching, new everything, new diets, new dietitian. Captain Eric took over for him. Captain Eric has had many a champion. Henry Cejudo.
Okay.
I don't know. Wei Lee, maybe.
Captain Eric is what you're
Captain
saying?
Eric, yeah, he's like 5'2". He's got Paul Costa. He's worked with a ton of guys. I'm just trying to think of ones off the top of my head. Now Deverson Figueiredo to add to that list. And I think he really transformed. He really turned Figueiredo's game around because Figueiredo just went from raw talent to now it's looking like it's all put together pretty well. But there was a lot of times where Moreno would touch him up a little bit. And Moreno doesn't really have that much pop compared to Figueiredo. So I was thinking if he would have put the gas on him a little more there, he might have even been able to finish him off again. Like, if you really went for it like he did in the second fight, if he would have went for it. But Figueiredo's game plan was a little different as well. He was countering, looking for the counter the whole time. Fighting in a way to look for the counter. That was how he was fighting.
So not an example
very
would
defensively.
Be like if someone punched you, you would want to counter back with something.
You're waiting until they... You're waiting until they make a move first so you can try to get out of the way and then hit them while they're open. Like if they throw a jab and their fist is away from their face.
So he's be like more reactive than like proactive.
Yeah.
Got it.
That's how Adesanya fights. That's how Anderson Silva fought. There's been quite a few guys that fight like that. It can make for a boring fight sometimes, but it is a smarter strategy.
And by the way, Coach Eric or Captain Eric, yeah, he's some guy that I guess was four-time UFC coach or MMA champion, whatever.
Yeah, he was a coach.
And he does
he
do Whaley. Who else? He's got Henry Cejudo on here. There's somebody else.
Yeah, he's coached a bunch of people, but
I didn't know
matter.
Who.
Oh,
he is
I think
now.
Both the Pitbull brothers.
Yeah, it says Pitbull.
Yeah, those.
On here, yeah.
One of them was a
Korean
double champ.
Korean Zombie. Whoever
Korean
the
Zombie,
eraser
yep,
is.
Korean Zombie, that's right. The who?
The Eraser?
That's Paul Costa.
Paul Costa, okay. Yeah.
I had to think about that one. I was like,
who
I know that?
That
one. Yeah, Paul Costa.
Yeah, what do you think about, I still haven't watched this one yet,
the
but
main
apparently
event?
Francis Ngannou like wrestled Sarah
Yeah, he
Gone.
Used, I mean, it was a mixed martial arts fight. A lot of people, the second has any grappling, they're like, what the hell did I just watch?
At me.
What the hell did I just see?
I'm
what
like,
did I just
I'm
watch?
Like, get back on the feet.
What the hell did I just watch? It was pretty active on the ground, though. Ciryl Gane went for a couple of leg locks a couple of times. Francis was getting out of them better than I expected.
Was it a clear decision win?
Yeah.
I feel like Did all the judges agree, or are they just...
Yeah, I'm pretty sure they all agreed.
Okay. Cool. So I guess he has to fight again since he won.
Yeah, we'll see, though. You can always... Yeah.
Apparently he's having knee surgery soon, though, so...
Yeah. He didn't have any knees. He had, like, a bunch of torn shit in his knees going into the fight.
Are you thinking that he might fight Jon Jones?
That's what I would want the most in the world, but
okay, tell me why.
Want it so bad, it probably won't happen, because when I'm really have my sights Tony set on Habib. Something, yeah, Tony Habib is the biggest one ever, but there's been quite a few canceled boys. Yair versus Zabit was canceled like 3 times.
So what makes that a good fight, like with Jon Jones versus...
Because Jon Jones...
Like, I've never actually seen him fight.
Jon Jones has the greatest mixed martial arts technique ever.
Okay. Yeah, like, people always say Jon Jones is the best, but I've never seen him, so I have no idea, like, what he's good at or what he's good at.
Yeah, his fights aren't always that exciting. He doesn't really sell that many pay-per-views, honestly, if you go back and look at the numbers. He's not that exciting, but he is very technically sound in all aspects. He had a 100% takedown defense for a while until he was, like, hung over fighting a guy and still won that fight. But it was a close fight, and then he rematched and beat the shit out of him. But
yeah.
That way, but it would be him coming up to heavyweight. But Jon Jones, off.
He's not active, is he?
Off, or whatever, out of the cage, is still just, I don't know if it's from getting hit a lot, but man, he misbehaves. He misbehaves quite a bit.
Yeah.
He does PEDs. He does crime. He does drugs. He's quite the handful.
What do you think about... So, a lot of people are saying that Dana White, like, disrespected Francis Ngannou by not giving the belt.
Yeah.
But then, when Dana White was, like, answering questions, he was, like, saying there was, like, backstage problems and that he had seen him all week and there was, like, no disrespect. Like... I feel like I believe that, you know, because it's not the first time he wasn't there to give someone their belt, you know.
I don't know.
Yeah.
It's so, who knows? I don't know. That's too tabloidy for me.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Got it, yeah. I just thought that was interesting, you know, because as a new friend, that I like that stuff. I like to hear about that stuff.
But Jones versus Ngannou would be... way more of what people thought Ciryl Gane versus Ngannou would be.
Apparently, Michael Bisping said that Jon Jones would only beat Francis Ngannou if he had like a bunch of takedowns and things like that. What do you? I mean,
there's different alleys to. I think he'd have a hard time taking him down. Honestly, I think he'd be better off working the low leg kick, and I think he would have a reach advantage too. Working the low leg kick, using your outside attacks. Ciryl was going for a lot of high kicks, a lot of body kicks.
Because of his Muay Thai background, maybe?
Yeah, I think he's just comfortable throwing them, but it ended up getting him taken down at least once, but I think twice. And I don't see Jones really doing that, because he'll be like, okay. Jones doesn't really make that many mistakes when he's fighting.
Yeah.
And he never really has, even when he was younger.
He has, like, a high fight IQ, I'd say.
Yeah, you could say that. That's about his only high IQ, seemingly. His only good decision-making, I should say. His IQ's probably high. I shouldn't say that, but his only good decision-making comes...
Maybe he just doesn't care.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what's up with the misbehaving, honestly. I'm not a brain ecologist or whatever.
Psychologist.
He misbehaves. That's all I know. You know. He's a misbehaver.
Are there any other notable fights you want to talk about on UFC 270? I know it wasn't like the strongest.
Let me pull it up to remind
myself.
Oh,
yeah, Charles Erdogan. You like that guy, didn't
That got fight? Canceled.
Oh, it got canceled.
Yes.
There was supposed to be...
Yeah, there's nothing really. Victor Henry, I guess, winning is... Jack Della won.
Okay.
Matt Favola won. Nothing really too...
Well, okay, how about you love Tony Ferguson? He might have a fight coming up. Michael Chandler.
I don't like this.
You don't like it?
I don't like what's going on here.
Tell
us
what's going on.
My man Tony. Ugh. He's my favorite fighter of all time. To anybody who's watched this before, listened to this before. And honestly, he physically is a 50-year-old man. From all the damage and stuff he has sustained. Yeah. He's 37, 38, something like that. And 37, I believe. And but he's actually like 50, age-wise. He's aged to like 50 years old. And that Gaethje fight probably put 10 years of it on him, so. It's just, you know, it's sad to watch at this point, and Chandler's a murderer. They are about the same age, but.
Yeah, so Justin Chandler's 35, Tony's 37. Tony's the taller man, and he's got like 5 more inches of reach on him. Yeah,
Tony's got a massive reach. Yeah. I think he had the longest reach at 155. There might be somebody else with just spaghetti arms out there, but he had a pretty wicked reach for 155. I don't really remember a time he ever didn't have the reach advantage. Yeah, Tony is a big lightweight, but Chandler has just still got a little more gas in the tank. Chandler has took a lot of damage over his career, but... Mm-hmm. Man, Tony is just...
When I looked at
this... I'm hoping, just for some reason, I doubt it's going to happen. He just has, like, a Robbie Lawler resurgence and can put on a good show.
Yeah, I hope so, too. When I was looking at the stats earlier and I saw Tony had 13 wins by knockout, I was like, holy crap.
Yeah, Tony was a destroyer. Yeah. Shades and Blades, Tony Ferguson was the absolute greatest fighter to watch ever. He was a ninja. He was so much fun. Every time. It was such a treat every time he fought. God. Especially, like, his 12-fight win streak was just such a joy. Such a good time. Such a good old time. So. That's the one thing about MMA, though, is then, like, when their careers are done, you can watch, like, all of their fights.
Yeah.
In, like, 2.5 hours. And you're like, yep, that was it. That was 15 years of a career.
When I posted about the matchup, someone commented, the loser needs to go fight in Bellator. And I was like, well, Michael Chandler, he was there, but he didn't really fight. He was the champ
over there.
Yeah, he was the champ for a while. So I was like, I feel like, but I don't know how Tony would fit over there because I don't watch Bellator. You know?
I think, man, I hope Tony doesn't go to other leagues. Yeah. I hope.
I was like, I think he should just retire. I hope
when his stint in the UFC is done, he just keeps coaching or whatever he's going to do, not breaking the ribs of his students. anymore. And
what would be like a good retirement life for
Tony? So Tony did the commentary one time.
Was it good?
Oh my god, it was the greatest ever. It ended with him just shit talking Kevin Lee before because they ended up fighting afterwards. And they fought afterwards. It was the greatest. They only did it once and I was like, why don't they do this more? It was so good. It was the best.
Yeah,
it was so good.
It was so good.
They'll be like, are you out of your goddamn mind? He was saner back then.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's always good to give another try. For like
Shades and Blades, Tony. He posted a picture on his Instagram.
I feel like...
The other day. Let me go ahead and pull this up for you. This is my man. I hate talking bad about Tony Ferguson, too, because he is my guy. He is my guy. I'll be a Tony fan. The whole time.
Do you think he'd make a good like PE teacher?
It'll always be... he would get those kids in shape. That's for sure. My man is aged.
Yeah, I saw that picture. Yeah, he looks pretty old.
My man is aged.
Yeah.
But yeah, he would whip those kids in shape. That's for sure.
Yeah, maybe that
could maybe be... He could maybe play... Be in like a horror movie. He could play the bad guy in a horror movie.
Yeah, we talked about that the
other day. Yeah, man, he's a frightening man.
I mean, because Francis and Ngannou.
Just let him say the shit he says, too. Like, you wouldn't even have to...
No script. Just all
he would just yell crazy shit. Yeah, like...
El Cucuy.
And start laughing. And yeah, he'd be a great... He can play the piano, too. Yeah. So you could... That'd be a great... to work into the horror movie. Like, you just go in there and be like, who's playing the piano? And it's just him like, it's Tony time or whatever.
Yeah.
Champ shit only. Yeah. He'd say some crazy shit.
I'd watch that
movie. I would definitely watch. If they put Tony in a movie, I would be right there.
Right, Steven Spielberg, if you're listening.
Steven Spielberg, if you get wanting to look into getting into the horror genre. I know you've been making children's movies the past couple years, but
I don't even know what he makes. I just know he's a director.
He's made a whole bunch of stuff. He's made bloody movies. E.T.? He did make E.T.
Yeah.
He's made all bloody movies, though. He made Jaws, Saving Private Ryan. I always have to stop myself from saying... The XXX variant of that movie. Do you know that title?
No.
Shaving Ryan's Privates.
Oh, okay. That makes sense. Okay.
Instead of Saving Private Ryan, so I always have to think about it beforehand. And he's made a bunch of stuff, though, including recently he made, like, Ready Player One.
Yeah, I've seen that.
Hugo, maybe, or something like that. He made a bunch of children's movies recently, I think.
Okay, what about Dan Hooker, Arnold Allen?
Yeah, that's a good matchup.
That's coming up. That's going to be on March 19th. I think it's the same day.
That's a good matchup. Yeah, when
Patty Pimblett fights Jared Gordon that day, too.
Yeah, that matchup perplexed me. I really thought they were going to try to give Patty somebody. They did exactly what I didn't think they were going to do. They gave him a tough vet.
Yeah, a measuring stick.
I thought they were going to give him someone to boost his name up a little bit, but apparently they've not. They don't give a shit about boosting his name up. They gave him a tough vet.
I'd like to see
a guy who won't even really benefit if he, who I think will maybe even beat him when he beats Patty Pimblett. His name isn't even really going to get that much value because no one's really still going to care about this dude. He's not even like, he's just a tough vet. He's not really like an up and comer. He's not really, he's a win some, lose some type of guy.
Yeah.
So it's like, well, so I think all it could happen, 155.
Okay, I was like, I think it's lightweight, but I'm not sure.
That's his opponent. Pull up his opponents.
Jared Gordon?
Yeah, pull up his record. I don't remember him ever really getting knocked out. Pull up his record.
Let's see.
Has he been knocked out? Has four losses?
He's got four losses by knockout.
He's been knocked out four times. Okay. Well, that makes me change my tune a little bit. When's the last time he's been knocked out? Has he been knocked out recently?
Let's see. Yeah, to Charles Oliveira back in 2019.
All right. Well, that's the current champ. How about,
I mean,
how about before that?
Okay, before that, I don't know, Joaquim Silva.
Joaquim Silva. Okay, yeah, okay, this is more.
That was in 18.
And CDF, okay. CDF was ranked.
Back in 18.
CDF is just about getting out of the rankings because he's been quitting out of his last fights. But anyway.
Yeah, so.
CDF is a broken man at this point. He's a broken toy.
Do you
want to
know some of the guys that he's beat in the past?
Yeah, sure.
Joe Selecki, Danny Chavez, Chris Fishgold, Dan Moritz, Hakran Diaz, Bill Agiel.
Bill Agiel.
We just watched him fight Aligo. He just fought recently, I think.
Yeah.
But that was in a different league. This fought like 2 weeks ago. Or whatever, back in the day.
Oh.
2017.
So, yeah, win some, lose some type of guy. But he's lost to good fighters. He's also lost to not that great of fighters. He's been knocked out every time he's lost then, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know then, because Patty could, he just got to catch him, and he'll fire enough in there to catch him, but I think I lean towards the grizzled vet in this one.
Why does Jeff Lentz, like,
Nick Lentz,
make me think something?
Nick Lentz.
Well, this is Jeff right here.
Jeff Lentz?
Yeah.
I don't know who that is. But there's Nick Lentz is a guy.
God, Nick Lentz.
Nick Lentz, I think, lost to Charles Olivier four times. I think they fought four times.
Okay, back to Dan Hooker.
Yeah, that's a good matchup.
You like that matchup?
I like that matchup. Arnold Allen isn't really a power puncher like that with a bunch of speed.
Yeah, he gets a lot of decisions.
Dan Hooker, let's see how that chin holds at a massive weight cut. I feel like he was probably already cutting a lot of weight to make 155.
Yeah, he's really tall and he's got a huge reach as well.
Yeah, so we'll see. It's going to look absurd because Arnold Allen's, he's a 145er. He's relatively small for the division. Not small, but he's not really a big one. You know
what
I mean?
Yeah, he's 5'8".
Yeah, so that's average for the division. That's average.
It looks like he used to fight at bantamweight at one point.
Yeah, okay, so a 135 or someone who can make 135 against someone who could be fighting at 170.
Yeah, so he's fought at bantamweight, featherweight, and lightweight, apparently.
I think Dan Hooker's fought at light heavyweight before. If you really dig into his record and look at some of the old ones.
Really, man?
I think I saw like some weird... I was looking at somebody's... Sometimes I go on these digs.
Wikipedia just says lightweight and featherweight.
Sometimes I go on these weird digs where I just find some bizarre...
Yeah. I mean, everybody knows, listening to the show, that Dan Hooker's my favorite fighter. So I'm excited for this fight. I really hope that he wins. I personally believe that Dan Hooker will have to knock this guy out.
I must be thinking of somebody else.
Yeah.
Somebody else I saw. There was somebody who's in a smaller weight class that has like a light heavyweight fight. I saw it on their record recently. I was like, what the fuck? Someone fights like 145 or something. Yeah, so.
So, yeah, I think.
I like the matchup, though, because I don't see Hooker getting knocked out in this one.
Yeah, I mean, that guy, he's on 11-fight win streak, but eight of those are decisionator. Like decisions.
All but one of his wins in the UFC are by decision. The other one's a guillotine in his first fight.
Yeah, exactly. So I think Dan Hooker can win that one. I really want him to.
Yeah, he could use the win.
I don't really know what he would do after that win, because I don't know that weight class.
Well, then he's going to be ranked like, he'll be right in there. He'll be top five, I believe. If not just outside it. He'll be right in the talks.
Who else? Is Edson Barboza over there?
Yeah, he's out there. He's fighting Bryce Thug Nasty Mitchell coming up.
Who else is over there?
Max Holloway, Volkanovski, Korean Zombie, Brian Ortega.
Yeah.
Yair Rodriguez, Zabit.
That's a dangerous Maga top Marush five, here. In my opinion. Those are Calvin some Cater, killers, yeah.
Danny Gay. Yeah. Josh Emmett. Billy Quarantillo.
Yeah.
Shane Burgos. That is just absolute murderers. 145, I think, is 135, 45, and 55 are by far the most stacked divisions in the UFC.
Wait, you said 135 as well?
30, oh, my God, yes.
Is that where 135?
That's 125.
Okay.
135 is ridiculous.
Is that bantamweight?
Yes.
Okay.
135, Nathaniel Wood, I say this on the show all the time, but Nathaniel Wood's ranked like 45th at 135. He could beat anyone.
Okay, that's where Aljo,
any given day.
Peter, wait. Oh yeah, bantamweight. Aljo, Peter Yan, TJ Joshua. Yeah, okay, I agree with you now.
This weight class is absurd.
Sean O'Malley, yeah, he's over
135 is absurd.
Yeah,
it is.
I agree.
Stacked. It has like, let me see. Go back to it. Look how many former champs are in the top five. So you got one. Former champ, two former champs, three
them?
Former. Okay, so here's your former champs. The top three ranked guys are all former champs. Piotr Jan, TJ Dillashaw, Jose Aldo. Then you go down a couple. Dominic Cruz. So we're at 1, 2, 3, 4. Frankie Edgar. So 5. So 5 former champions in the top 15. That's one-third of the division.
Yeah.
In the top 15 is former champs. Now, Frankie Edgar is on his last leg here, being 40 years old. Dominic Cruz has really been around the block a lot.
Yeah.
But TJ here.
I mean, he looks good on his last
Aldo,
fight, though, Dominic Cruz.
That was a great fight against Pedro Munhoz. Got fight of the night, even though I thought the ladies did enough to get that one, but I guess not. With Nunez and Pena.
Are you ready to see Sean Strickland fight again?
Oh, my God, yes. I love watching that serial killer.
Jack Hermanson.
I love that watching that serial killer fight. His last fight was kind of... It kind of looked like he wasn't really trying his hardest, though. It was bizarre. And it was odd because it looked like he wasn't trying his hardest, which means that Uriah Hall was just really not even trying at all, which I don't understand why Uriah Hall sucks. That one will always perplex me because... He is so naturally gifted in like every single department of mixed martial arts, but he sucks. So that's why he's on my no bet list. I never bet on him or really, I get a bet against him sometimes, but I hate betting against him too because then he'll just randomly knock somebody out and you're like, God damn it. Like he did Jocko.
Yeah, so that's the main event for this next card on February 5th.
It's a great matchup.
Jack Hermanson. I don't really know too much about that guy.
Jack Hermanson's been in some great fights. Him versus Vettori was such an underrated
Vettori.
Fight. Yeah, that was such a great fight. That fight was so fucking good.
He's the older guy of the two. Jack Hermanson.
Yeah.
Let's see.
It's a great matchup, though. I really like this matchup. It'll get if Strickland wins, which I believe he's the favorite, but the way people are talking about it online, they're like, Strickland's going to kill him. Strickland's going to kill him. I'm like, do people not know how bad of a motherfucker Jack Hermanson is?
Jared Cannonier. Marvin Vittori.
Yeah, he gets knocked out sometimes. I think two of those guys knocked him out, I believe.
Yeah, the loss. Cannonier. This was a decision to Marvin Vittori.
Yeah, that was a great fight.
Cannonier's a knockout. Uh-huh.
And probably Thiago Santos.
Yeah, that's also a knockout.
So Thiago Santos is a 205-er.
And then he was subbed by this guy named Cesar, but that was like in 2016. Fajera. Yeah. So that's not really anything.
Yeah, he's very good, Jack Hermanson. He's very, very, very good. And people are... You know, I liked the plus money on him against Vittori, but I really like the plus money on him against Strickland. Because Vittori is the biggest motherfucker in the league, or in the division, aside from Costa, who apparently they're not going to even let fight at 205 or at 185.
Yeah.
Or maybe they're going to give him one more chance, is out
there. I think he should have one more chance, no, but I don't know what they said.
I don't.
I mean, yes, it's a part of the job, and when you mess up, the only time
he ever, whenever he makes weight, he fights like shit. For the most part, he either misses weight, weighs in at 186, which you can't in a championship fight, or fights like shit. So, make this man. He's big enough at 205. He'd be the fastest motherfucker at 205. He would be good at 205. 205 is wide open too. I mean, look at that division. Maybe he just doesn't want to fight Yuri Prohotska. I wouldn't want to have to fight that motherfucker.
Is that where
205, the current champ, go over Teixeira?
Jan Błachowicz. Oh,
yeah, go over Jan Błachowicz, Anthony Smith, Jakic, however you say that guy's name. Rakic, is that how you say it? I don't know how to say this guy's name. I always fuck it up. Rakic, he beat Anthony Smith. Yuri Prohotska, only two fights in the UFC. He's getting a title shot next. Such a destroyer. Jan Błachowicz, I think we
Thiago
said.
Thiago Santos. Magomedov Ankalaev.
Yes. That's the man on the come up, though. Magomedov Ankalaev. Dominic Reyes. Uzdemir. Nikita Krylov. Walker, Johnny Walker. Really? Over Paul Craig? Did he beat Paul Craig? Jamal Hill, too. Jamal Hill, he lost to Paul Craig, but Jamal Hill, his last fight, he really looked good in that last fight. Man, he binked off Jimmy Crute. He made Jimmy Crute look like he didn't. He was not tough. He made him look like a little bitch. It was crazy. And there are some killers at 205, but I think Paulo Costa could beat a lot of those guys we mentioned. Some of those guys, anyway.
Let's see,
they'd be tough matchups for him, but he showed that he can go five rounds at 205 with volume. He had great volume in his last fight, and I was like, dude, fight at 205. You can put out five really good rounds, and if you just train to be at 205 rather than whatever the hell you did, you might actually keep some of that power and fight someone without an iron chin like Vittori, who can just eat massive shots.
It looks like this next card on February 5th has like very little fights on it.
What you talking about? They just haven't updated it on there.
You don't think so? Okay.
Yeah, they haven't updated it on there.
Yeah, I don't know any of these people.
If you go to the Wikipedia, it's more on there. No, you can't say that. Malcolm Gordon has messaged the page and talked to us on the page a little bit. You can't do that to this man.
I mean, you manage most of that.
God.
Let's
see. It's like, I don't know him. He's very...
The guy he's fighting, Denise Bondar or something? He doesn't have a picture.
Yeah, I don't know. But go to the Wikipedia. It has the announced fights on it. What do we got on here?
All right. So,
Hakeem Dawodu.
Versus Michael Trezano.
That's a great matchup.
Don't know those guys.
Some other random dude that I don't know versus Marc-Andre Barriault, who I love watching fight. Marc-Andre Barriault. Well, for some reason, the mic cut out there after we talked about Marc-Andre Barriault, but...
Alexis Davies.
No. Deji, you know, we went right back to the nonsense. The announced bouts. Jason Witt versus your man.
Big Toe Rowe.
Phil Big Toe Rowe. Miles Johns versus John Castaneda. That's a pretty good one. Steven Peterson versus Julian Erosa. I think they're both coming off wins off a hot prospect. Steve Peterson, I believe, beat Chase Hooper. Let me see. I'm about to look it up here. Yeah, coming off a win over Chase Hooper and Julian Erosa beating Charles Air Jordan.
Isn't that going a win-loss thing, Julian Erosa?
Yes. He is a win-loss type of guy, but he has stopped some hype trains. He beat Sean Woodson. He beat Nate Landwehr and Charles Air Jordan. So, but he went on a 3-fight losing streak where he got knocked out twice. So he is a win some lose some type of guy. But he always said whenever he gets a catchweight fight at 150, he dominates. He's always says like if there was a 150 pound division, I'd be the champ. He dominates catchweight 150. But Sam Alvey fighting Phil Haas. This is a winnable one for because Phil Haas' chin was contested by our man Action Man Chris Curtis. Chris Curtis cracked that chin on him good.
I think I saw Chris Curtis has a fight coming up. I can't remember who
it was. Yeah, he does. But we'll look that up in a second. He does have a fight. But then the one that you were most excited for, the true unification of the Ultimate Fighting Championship.
Oh, yeah, Brian Battle.
Versus Trayshawn Gore.
Yeah, those are some good fighters. I liked both of them.
Yeah, that'll be a good one. Now, I was hoping they would each get an opponent that was already in the league, but I'm perfectly fine with this. I'm fine
with that, yeah. That is matchup what I wanted well. To see before he had
I was hoping it was going to be a little down the road. I was hoping they were going to each get real opponents to see if they were worth a damn or not. Because sometimes these guys on The Ultimate Fighter don't pan out. Sometimes you get a whole season of guys, and compared to each other, you're like, oh, yeah, these guys are pretty good. But then when they get in the UFC, it's like, oh, this guy is getting wrecked.
I mean, the UFC is the top of the cream of the crop, you know?
Highest level competition. The cream of the crop, eh?
Yeah.
And then Nick Maximo making a return as well. But, yeah, that card is, that's more, there's great matchups on that card, but there's not really too many, you know, name boys on there. Not too many name boys on there. Who were we just talking about? Chris Curtis?
Yeah, I saw he had a fight coming up. I can't remember who it was, but
let's see. Let's look him up. Chris Curtis. Man.
Cannot remember.
Chris the Action Man Curtis. Let's see if he's got a fight coming up. Against. Ooh. Driscus Duplessis. He's just a sloppy striker with power. That's a wild-ass matchup. That's a good matchup, though. That's going to be for a wild fight.
When are they supposed to fight, does it say?
049, April 9th.
April 9th, okay.
I like that matchup, though. Driscus, both of these guys, 2-0 with two knockouts in the UFC. So. I like this one. I like that matchup. So, yeah, any questions about anything that's been going on in the MMA world? Oh, do you want to tell them about the show we're going to go see?
Oh, yeah, we're going to go see Mike Perry fight Julian Lane, the guy from The Ultimate Fighter.
Don't bang me, bro.
Yeah, we're
going to. Oh, no, I mean, let me bang, bro. Okay. Not don't bang me, bro. I fucked it up. Let me bang, bro.
Yeah, we're going to go bang, watch that. Bro.
Let me
next
bang.
Month,
I you think said you let me bang, bro. You said you'd let me bang. I can't think of a matchup that I didn't think I wanted, but when it was announced, I was so enthralled. I've never wanted to go see a fight live more than this. Honestly. Because UFC fights aren't that good to watch. MMA fights, it's hard to see through that cage. But with a, you know, the ring, you can see in the ring good.
Yeah. We've got pretty decent seats, so.
Let me fucking bang, bro.
Did you see that Jeremy Stevens is no longer in the UFC?
Really?
Mm-hmm. They just announced it like an hour ago.
Well, they had enough of him, I guess. Yeah, I thought they were going to get one more out of him. Yep. Well, heathen. I thought they were going to get one more out of him. Yeah, he, I mean, he was UFC caliber for a long time, but, you know, it's just at that point.
He fought, like, 36 fights with him, or 34 fights, or something like that.
No. Not that many.
Yeah, it says, yeah, in UFC, let's see. Fourth most appearances in UFC history with 34 bouts.
Really?
Almost 6.5 hours time in
That's
the
crazy.
Octagon.
Yeah, well, it's time to go. It's time to go. I mean, he's hasn't won in a long time. When's the last time he won?
It doesn't say.
When the hell was the last time that man won?
Apparently, he beat Darren Elkins, RDA.
Yeah, he beat. Yeah, oh yeah, he beat good fighters at times. He was the one that Conor McGregor goes, "Who the fuck is that guy?" That's what he's literally most famous for. Unfortunately for him. Let's see, he's only 35. Really, that's crazy. Who is he? I mean, he's only been losing to absolute killers, though.
It looks like Paddy Pimblett has a new opponent now.
You know what? They should have let him fight
6 hours ago.
They should have let him fight one more time. Have him stay at 155 and go fight Paddy Pimblett. Who's he fighting now?
Kazula Vargas? I don't know that guy.
Kazula Vargas?
Yeah, I don't know who this guy is. I guess they decided to give him a can. I don't know. Let's see.
His last one was Josh Emmett. That's actually a good win. He's only fought killers, though. I think they should have kept him for one more.
Let's see. Kazula Vargas. Who's that guy? Okay, let's see.
He
he's 36 years old. So he's definitely going to be the older guy. He's 12-4-0 in the UFC.
So they just got somebody to just fill in. Oh, he's got 16 fights in the UFC.
I don't know if that's in the UFC. That's just his record, 12-4-0.
Oh, okay.
In the UFC, let's see. He has one win, a decision. He lost to Brock Weaver.
Oh,
not a good loss.
Not a good loss.
Alex Da Silva. But it was a loss because of an illegal knee, so.
Oh, that's that guy. That's that guy. I think that was Brock Weaver's only win, too. I forgot about
First
that. Yeah, I forgot about that. God.
And then this is the only other fight here.
I loved watching Brock Weaver get his ass kicked, too. That was probably why I liked Roosevelt Roberts so much, because he beat the shit out of Brock Weaver. I was probably like, hell yeah, this guy's awesome. Bout money on his chest, beat the shit out of Brock Weaver.
But outside of the UFC, he's got a lot of wins via, like, he's got, like, 3 guillotines, ground and pound, Dr. Stoppage, reverse triangle. A head kick. So he's got lots of wins outside of the UFC, but, you know.
Yeah, he's filling in last minute. Yeah, well, I guess that helps out the baddie a little bit in that scenario, but.
Yeah, so I wouldn't say this guy's a can, but, like.
he doesn't really have much on the record. He's 36. Yeah, he's definitely a last minute replacement, so.
Yeah.
It is. It is what it is. He's got time to prepare, though. When did you say they were fighting?
Let's see.
April?
March 19th.
March? So he's got time to prepare. Kind of a bizarre. That's another weird matchup. Why? I'm surprised they didn't throw Paddy in there. I thought they were going to throw him in there.
I don't know.
I really thought they were going to throw him in there. But apparently not. F it. I'm not a matchmaker.
Volkov Aspinall.
Volkov. Oh, that's the matchup.
Yeah, I think that's a matchup coming up.
Aspinall versus. Yeah, that's a good one. That'll show. I mean, yeah, that'll show a lot of stuff. Volkov.
And it looks like.
Has looked so good at times and so bad at times, too.
Apparently, Misha Tate's going to be on one of your favorite shows you select to watch with your grandma.
Big Brother?
Yeah, she's going to be on Celebrity Big Brother.
Oh, I hate Celebrity Big Brother, though.
Well, of course they're not going to put her in regular Big Brother. But
yeah, that's true.
Well, Celebrity I mean, maybe she'll get to beat somebody up. I don't know.
No, they'll take you right off the show immediately. Celebrity Big Brother is the worst ever.
Didn't they have someone else from the UFC?
Chuck Liddell.
Yeah, Chuck Liddell.
First voted off. They're like, he's an athletic threat. I'm like, he cannot bend anymore.
Yeah, I remember
he can barely move.
That when we watched.
I'm like, these competitions aren't fights. Like, it's freaking like, take a teacup, slide across a slippery floor and pour a little bit of water back and forth 1,000 times. This is not something Chuck Liddell would be good at.
Yeah.
He's beat at this point.
Hey, let's
My
beat
man's
it.
Beat. Yeah, and he's like limping around and they're like, he's such an athletic threat. And I'm like, Ron Artest or Metal World Peace or whatever is way more in shape.
Oh, I forgot that than guy freaking, from, is that guy's like real legal name now?
Yeah, Metal World Peace.
He's in the NBA or something.
He was, yeah. I'm like, he's probably got more in the tank than freaking.
Did you see Tanner Bowser is going to fight Rodrigo Nascimento?
Yeah. I mean, Bowser, I liked him, but he's just disappointed me too many times. But everybody's losing to Arlovsky lately. Oh, man, the kid that lost to Arlovsky just got a suspension. That real fat guy, he was doing PEDs.
Oh, man.
One of the face tats now. He got a face tat that says, like, slaughter or something before his last fight. His last fight was the first one with it. He lost to Arlovsky. It was the oldest heavyweight versus the youngest heavyweight.
Did you see what Aljo was saying about PEDs? I think he was saying you should have to go to jail or something if you're using PEDs.
Because it's assault at that point because you're causing extra damage to somebody.
I don't know what to think about that. Cause I feel like I can't
People
really
have sued and lost for that repeatedly.
Oh, really?
Somebody just sued and lost for that. Sued the UFC and lost.
Because somebody was on PEDs.
Yeah, because he had like 4 opponents in a row on PEDs. Mark Hunt sued and lost. He had to pay the UFC $900,000, I think. Or $400,000 or something for
well,
all their lawyers.
Well, I bet UFC has like great lawyers compared to what you can get.
Yep.
But like, so they don't drug test before the fight, just after the fight, I guess?
No, they do both.
Then how do you...
Stuff just slips through.
Yeah.
Slip through the cracks. People learn the test and figure out what chemicals it tests for and stuff and find other ways around it. And if you take one molecule off, and they do crazy shit with stuff. In labs. Stuff way above my brain.
Yeah. The one thing that kind of gets on my nerves with that is when people's like, they decide to take like something they actually need like for a medical condition, but then they don't apply for a therapeutic use agreement or whatever. And then they like get suspended.
Well, people have applied for the therapeutic use agreement and got suspended for applying.
Well, I feel like they should, before they get it, they should apply before they decide, I'm going to start taking this medication.
Yeah, but that, they never do. They start taking it and then apply at the same
time.
That
would be the smart decision, I think.
You start taking it and apply at the same time.
No, to apply first and then,
you get a suspension.
Because this is like your job.
It happened to a couple people. Raquel Pennington, Kevin Lee, I believe.
Someone was on Adderall. I can't remember who it was.
That might have been Kevin Lee. He ain't even in the UFC no more. Did Eagle FC sign him?
I think so, yeah. I'm pretty sure. But I think I heard they're going to, like, drop
him
or something.
He's going to be the champ of... They're really going to drop him? He's going to be the champ of Eagle FC. They're like, fuck it. We're over him, too.
Let's see. Oh, no. He has a fight book. That's what it was.
With who?
Diego Sanchez.
Oh, my God. That's right.
Wait.
Yeah, it is Diego Sanchez.
Am I right about that?
Yeah. It is Diego Sanchez. I forgot about that. Oh, my God. That is so fucked.
What's wrong with that?
What is wrong with that?
I mean, you know, I'm the new person.
That is fucked. That is almost asking to get your promoter's license revoked, putting something
okay,
like that
please
on.
Please tell me why, because clearly
Diego
we're not
Sanchez
on
is an old man. I love Diego. He's one of my favorite fighters to watch of all time. He's nuts. And he was getting molested by his freaking coach for so long, and he's all messed up in the head now, or whatever the hell was going on over there. And he's taken so much damage. I think he's like second or third. I think he's third of all time head strikes.
Do you know who John McCarthy is?
Big John, the annoying ass, the worst commentator I can think
of. Yeah, I just read something. If he said he doesn't think it's a fair fight.
No,
I think
not at all. You know the only thing that holds Diego in there, his ability to take punishment and his cardio. And Kevin Lee has just garbage cardio. Kevin Lee.
Oh, okay, so Diego Sanchez is going to be 40, and
man,
Kevin Lee is 29. So.
Yeah, god damn, god, that is horrible. But Kevin Lee can still get choked out by just about anybody, especially someone as good as be at choking people out and submissions as Diego the Nightmare Sanchez. That last fight was just so brutal, though, when he was like getting ground and pounded, and his coach was like, "Come on, Nightmare." was like, God damn it. Please. And he had the worst coach ever towards the end there. Fabio or whatever that fake crap. He's like, he was literally, there's videos of him for training. He's chasing guys around in the cage with a knife.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, like chasing them around with a knife. I'm like, what? What are they doing? What is this? So, that guy's out of his mind, and Diego's half out of his mind, too, with his only fans.
Yeah, I thought that was, okay, so that is the guy that, like, retired and was, like, had the OnlyFans shirt on or whatever.
Well, so what happened, the end of his UFC career.
I can't remember if that was Diego Sanchez.
Yeah, he did. This is how it happened. He had, that was in his video trying to explain it, but it was just not, but what happened was, his coach started calling the UFC right before, because he had a fight scheduled against Cowboy. He was supposed to fight Cowboy, which I was like, all right, cool. Two old timers, that's fine. Second and third most for head strike, or once Cowboy's got the most, Diego's got the third most head strikes taken in the UFC. This is a fine matchup for me. Diego's coach starts calling, like, hey, can we get all of Diego's medical records that you've ever had? And taking an x-rays and stuff. Can we get them all? And immediately they're like, all right, we got to get the lawyer on the phone. This dude's trying to sue us. He's trying to sue us. So then it became very hostile because, you know, they thought he was going to sue at all times. So that's how his career ended. But
well, in the UFC, I guess.
In the UFC.
New career now.
In Eagle FC.
So we'll see what Habib does with him.
That whole Habib digging up some graves with some of these dudes that he's got coming on there.
I feel like that's where you gotta start. I mean, maybe
some of these guys.
What do you think about Tony maybe going to Eagle FC, like in a parallel universe?
Tony versus Habib in Eagle FC.
Yeah.
When they're like 50 years old. God, I just.
I feel like because of
they'd be like better late than never would be the headline for that. God.
You'd probably still watch.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to watch Mike Perry versus Don't Bang Me Bro Night Train. Julian Night Train, Don't Bang Me Bro Lane. Or Please Bang Me. Or Let Me Bang Bro. Yeah. Not, I can say Don't Bang Me Bro.
I don't know.
Don't Bang Me Bro. That sounds way worse. Let me bang, bro.
All right, guys. Well,
this has been a short episode. Deja's got to go.
It's pretty close to an hour, but...
No, it's not. But anywho, short episode. This is our first episode back. We're together.
Holidays,
first episode together in quite a while.
Yeah.
We did separate ones for a bit of there.
Glad to have you back. All right, this has been episode 23 of the BS for Brutal MMA podcast. Michael Jordan, if you're listening, we really would have liked to have you, but...
Michael Jordan, if you're listening to this, fuck you. And all your inspirational shit.
Hey guys, thanks again for listening to the podcast this week. Don't forget to DM us on Instagram if you have anything you want to talk about or if you'd like to be a guest on the show. And also, please leave us a rating and review. It really helps people find our podcast. And again, we really appreciate you guys tuning in every week. Bye.